Who's really ready for the word of the Lord? Who's hungry? Come on, who's really hungry? You know, if you're hungry, God's going to satisfy that hunger today. Could you put your hands together? It's my dad, John Warren, comes to minister the word.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be with you today at this, as we're coming on to the Christmas season, and to bring you the word of God. I've got three scriptures that I want to read, and then I'm going to preach. The first one is from John chapter 14 and verse 27. And these are the words of Jesus. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Then Philippians chapter 4 and a very well-known verse of scripture from verse 7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." We have peace with God. Through faith, we have peace with God. There is a big difference between having or making peace with God and possessing the peace of God. There's a huge difference. But you cannot have the peace of God unless you've made your peace with God. Yeah. That is so important. That's what the gospel, the good news, is all about. Telling us that we can make our peace with God. That God wants us to come to Him, and He doesn't want to be a judgmental God. He doesn't want to be a condemning God. He wants to be a forgiving, loving, caring God, and He asks us to come to Him so that we make our peace with Him. Now notice, we make our peace with God. God doesn't make His peace with us because He's done nothing wrong. Did you get that? Don't ask God to make His peace. He hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't harmed you. He hasn't violated you. He in no way has hurt you, but we have violated Him and His law. We have hurt one another. We have hurt God. We need to make our peace with God. And if we make our peace with God, that is a wonderful thing. Because if I make my peace with God, I'm not afraid of Him as a judge. The night on which I became a Christian, the person who led me to the Lord, I was a young guy, I'd come into the church to wreck a meeting, to wreck the church with a gang of lads. And afterwards, he witnessed to me, and he said to me, "If you, on your way home tonight, got hit by a truck, and you got killed, where would you go?" And do you know what I said immediately? I didn't go to church, I wasn't interested in God. But when he says, "If you got hit by a truck tonight, where would you go?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you where I wouldn't go, heaven." I just knew it. I knew I wouldn't go to heaven because of what I've been doing. I thought, if there's a God in heaven, I ain't going to go there because of what I've done. He doesn't want me. That's how I used to think. And so the guy witnessed to me and said, "You can make your peace with God. Give Him your heart and life, and you will go to heaven. You won't go to that place that you don't want to go to. You'll go to heaven, which is a wonderful place." So I made my peace with God. And if there are people here today who need to make their peace with God, why don't you do it before this meeting is finished? Why don't you make your peace with God? Why don't you ask him to forgive you? And if you say you've got nothing to be forgiven, you're a fool. You're an idiot. If you think you've done nothing wrong, of course you have. You're a sinner like the rest of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person in here, you turn around to the people, I don't care how long they've been coming to church, they were sinners. Useless, rotten, smelly sinners. That's what they were. But they made their peace with God, and he changed them, and he transformed them from the inside out. He made them new people. If anybody is in Christ, the Bible says, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So you can make your peace. And I want to speak today about the peace of God, but I'm saying this, you can't have the peace of God unless you've made your peace with God. Have you ever thought about peace? It is the most sought after commodity in the world today. It is sought after by everybody. It's sought after by nations. It's sought after by families. It's sought after by individuals. And if I was to say to you peace, what sort of conjures up in your mind? When you think of the word peace, don't get too spiritual on me, just peace. What does the word peace mean to you? I think most of you would think, well, it means a sense of calmness, a sense of tranquility, you know, sitting by a lovely lake on a beautiful spring day and just throwing the hook in there with a fishing and just sitting there watching, no kids around, your wife's not there. You're just sitting there and you think calmness, peace, tranquility. And then the women, when they think of peace, they probably think of something like going down to Myers with a bag full of money to buy all those clothes and that makeup and all that. And the husband's not there. And the kids are not around. You know, our sense of peace, you know, when we think of it, we think of something that's going to make us tranquil. Something that's going to give us rest. That's what we think of as peace. And the dictionary definition of peace says the cessation of war and strife. So again, if I was saying to you today, do you want peace? I guarantee that most of you will think, most of you, if not all of you, well, if I can get this problem sorted, I'll have peace. If I can sort my wife out, if I can sort the kids out, if I can sort my boss out, if I can sort my husband out, if we could sort these politics out, we'll have peace. Immediately, when you think of peace, you don't go for peace, you go for sorting out the problem. Let me say that again. When you think of peace, getting peace, you don't think that peace itself is a commodity. You think it will come automatically if you can sort out your problem. If the world's got no problems, then you got peace. So you don't seek peace, you seek for your problems to be fixed. Whereas the Bible says, seek peace and pursue it, which is quite incredible. I thought I'd seen everything there is to see. I'm at a ripe old age now of 75, and I've been preaching for 60 years. And I've thought I've seen everything that I could see, and nothing would sort of, you know, upset me. But last Saturday, I saw something that upset me. I went into the Ellenbrook Shopping Center, and it was absolutely packed to capacity. And they built some new shops on the shopping center. There's an Aldi store, there's a vet, there's a liquor store, there's a cheesecake store, and there's a pet store for all that you need for your pets. And we got two little dogs, and I needed something. So I said to Julie, let's go into this store. It's brand new. Only just been open, just took three or four weeks. So I goes into the store. It's massive, and everything's sparkling new. As I'm walking through, in the corner, there was a guy sitting there, a Father Christmas. And he was brilliant. One of the best-dressed Father Christmases I've ever seen. You know, some of them get a bit daggy, don't they? You know, but this was good. This was good. And he sat on this beautiful chair, and all behind him, it was so good, all that they'd put there. Then in front of him were these umbrellas and lights. And people were queuing up with their dogs to have a photograph taken with Santa Claus. I'm not kidding. I'm not telling you a fib, it's the truth. I have never seen it in my life. I was there, I could not believe my eyes. People were queuing. This was an expensive shop. This, and there were proper photographers. This would have cost them a fortune. It was being done properly. And this guy had this bulldog next to him. Looked so miserable. And the owner to the bulldog says, smile, smile. Give me a break, please. I thought I'd seen it all. I came out of that shop stunned. Where are we going, folks? Come on, where are we going? On the way home, on the radio, I'll listen to this greeny politician. A greeny politician, and the greeny politician was talking. He says, we need to bring back the death tax. That's what he's trying to do, and there's a bit of talking in the parliament about that. So he says, the reason we need to do it is because in this country, he's talking about Australia, in this country, the rich are getting rich, and the middle class are just losing out. And I thought, you ought to come to Allenbrook. That's middle class. Photographs of their dogs with Santa. That costs money. Come on. We're not losing out at all. There's money to spare in this country. I'm telling you, when I saw that, I didn't think, oh, isn't that terrific? And you could call me a Scrooge or whatever you like. But I saw that, and the first thing that came into my mind was Syria. The bombings, the torture, the hospitals that's being bombed, the kids that's got nowhere to go, the kids being brought up in war. And then this country, we're taking photographs of dogs with Santa Claus. Give me a break! If you've done that, don't do it again. You know, we live in a country where there's no shortage of counselors. You can get counsel for everything. You know, with the internet, you can learn about everything. I've just started to do, I do painting, oil painting, and I do landscapes, but I've started to do portraits now. I'm trying to. And so I go into there to how to paint a portrait. It's all there. How to make skin tone. It's all there. You can go and find out how to be an electrician. You can find out how to be a plumber. You can find out how to be anything, builder, anything. It's all there. There is no shortage of information, and there are no shortage of counselors. You can get counseling for anything and everything if you're prepared to pay. But anyway, that's by the side. It costs you a fortune to get counsel. I heard just a few weeks ago, again, it shook me a little bit. In Australia, there's a company, a betting company. It's the largest betting company in Australia. They've got a lot of people working for it. When Donald Trump, this is Australia, but when Donald Trump got voted in to be the president, the director of this company offered counseling to all his employees. Let it sink in if you would. Isn't that scary? Because Donald Trump got in and they thought this guy's going to bring about World War III, they were offering counsel. I thought, dear God, where are we going? There's no shortage of counseling. I'm not knocking it, but I'm just saying there's no shortage of it. And I ask you this question. How much good does it do? Come on. The counseling for marriage counsel. So many people go for counseling for marriage counsel. And after they've been there two or three sessions, the counsel ends up saying, you'd probably be better off apart. Oh. Well, we knew that before. That's why we came. I've just spent $120 for you to tell me that. I think counseling I'm not against it, but I'm just saying this to you. It's somewhat overrated because counseling all is aiming at your problem. It's trying to sort your problem out. It's trying to give you an answer to your problems. But you know that problems are elusive when it comes to getting them fixed. And if you get one problem fixed, guess what? There's another and another. So when I saw this scripture that says, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. I'm leaving you my peace. I am giving you my peace. Not as the world gives. So don't be troubled. So I stopped and thought about that. See, when I think of peace, like you, I used to think, got to get my problem sorted. Then if you get your problem sorted, there's automatic peace. Because the dictionary definition of peace is the cessation of war or strife. That's the dictionary definition. When strife is gone, when war is gone, there comes a calmness and a peace. And that strife and war can be between nations, or it can be in a family. It can be in a home. It can even be in an individual's heart. Because the amount of problems we have in the world, it's a troubled world. It's a problematic world. It's a painful world. It's an angry world. It's a disillusioned world. It's also a greedy world. And it's very much a violent world. There's not much tranquility and peace out there. Do you know the reason why so many drugs are taken and so much alcohol is consumed? It's because people are looking for some way out. A lot of people go to counselors, they go for help, don't get that. But you see, if I could take that little bit of a, that tablet's going to lift me. It's going to put me on a high that I'm not on because of this family situation, this work situation, this sickness in my body. There's always something that's just trying to grab a piece of our mind and bring disillusionment. But if I could take this tablet, I'd feel a lot better. A bit of marijuana, if I smoke that, I just feel a little bit high. If I can do this, if I can do, and so you go on to do it. And because the reality is, when you take those drugs, you do get a high. That's why they do it. If you didn't get a high, they wouldn't do it, would they? But they do. Alcohol does soothe to a degree. But the trouble is, the alcohol, if you keep on drinking it, and the drugs, if you keep on taking them, become the problem. They become the source of your discontent. They become the source of your pain. Because you can't live without them. And when you take them, you're not getting the highs that you used to take. So you've got to take more and more and more. And suddenly your body starts to weaken. Suddenly your body starts to fall to pieces while you're taking these jolly things to try to give you a high. Because the world thinks that peace comes through the cessation of war and strife. But Jesus said, I'm going to leave my peace with you. My peace, not as the world gives. I love that. Jesus is offering a peace. And if people here are counselors this morning, don't get offended by what I'm saying. Still keep counseling. Still keep trying to help people. Still keep trying to point people. But can I say this? Try in your counseling to point them to Jesus. Okay? Not just the solving of their problems, but to Jesus. I'm not against counseling, but what I'm trying to say is don't let counseling become the source where you think everything's going to get sorted out, because it won't. There's only one person who can sort it all out. His name is Jesus. And he said, I'm going to leave you my peace. I'm going to give you my peace, not as the world gives. Because the world can't give you this sort of peace that Jesus gives you. The world's peace is tranquility and calmness if all your problems are solved. Now, I realize this morning I'm talking mostly to Christians. And that's what I'm aiming it at. Now, if you're not a Christian, you need to make your peace with God. But if you are a Christian, why don't you start to take hold of the peace of God? Why don't you start to say, I want this peace. You know, this peace that doesn't come from the solving of problems, but a peace that you can have in the midst of your problems. And the best illustration was when Jesus was on the boat. Do you remember that? And the storm came. In that boat were 13 men. Jesus was asleep on a cushion. It actually mentions that in the Bible. He found a cushion. He intended to go to sleep. And the rest of them panicked in the storm. The rest of them thought they were going to die. There was no peace in that boat because water was coming in. And they thought they were finished. And somebody says, where is Jesus? And then somebody says, he's over there. Look, he's asleep on a cushion. He was asleep. At that stage, the person who said, where is Jesus, should have said, he's asleep. Let's join him. Let me say that because some of you missed it. When they said, where's Jesus? And it was pointed out he's there asleep. They should have said, let's join him. But you know what they did? They woke him up, and this is what they said. Don't you care that we're going to perish? We're going to drown. We're going to die. Don't you care? And they wasn't asking for a miracle because they'd never seen him do miracles like this. They just wanted him to help them to get the water out. Another bucket for him. So they weren't thinking a miracle, because when he stood up, the Bible says he was angry. Well, he would be, because he was having a good sleep. There was a storm outside, but the storm was not in him, but the storm was in the disciples. The storm outside had become a storm inside, and they couldn't sleep. How could you put your head on a pillow where there's a raging storm that's going to sink us? That's stupidity. Jesus was pretty stupid because he was doing it. He got up angry. And he says, peace, be still. And he said there was a great calm. I've got to believe, I've preached this to you before. I believe that when he was speaking that word, he wasn't just speaking to the storm. I think he was speaking to the disciples because they were the ones that woke him up. The storm didn't wake him. Come on, the storm didn't wake him. They did, and they were panicking. And he woke, and he says, peace. And I think he wanted peace to come to them. And instead of listening to him, the Bible says they then became terrified because the storm went. And this man had done it. And I see him backing off thinking, who is this? Did you see? They'd now got another storm inside. Fear. I once heard a preacher preach on this, and he says, thank God they woke him up. He said that, thank. I was sitting in the congregation listening to this preacher. Thank God they woke him up. Because if they had, don't let Jesus go to sleep in the boat. If they'd have gone, if they hadn't have woke him up, they all would have drowned. That's what a preacher preached. And I thought he's not reading his Bible because Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go to the middle and sink. He didn't say that, did he? His last words were, let us go over to the other side. And I reckon you could call me stupid, you could call me whatever you like, but I'm telling you, if they'd have rested with him, they would not have sunk. They'd have got over to the other side with a raging storm. Glory to God. See, you and me want our storms to cease. And there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. I think we want our storm. I don't want to be in a storm. I've been in many storms, and I'm in one right now. And I would love for it to go. And I pray that it will. But if it doesn't go and I'm in this storm, do I become distressed, disillusioned? Do I become full of fear, worry, and anxiety? No, 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 no. Because I've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's a huge difference for a Christian to be between being concerned about something and being worried about something. Most of you Christians can't discern this. You see, to be concerned, that's not... If you're concerned about something, that's good, because your concern with people in this district that haven't got enough has forced you to bring some food. That's your concerns done that, your compassion. You see, concern drives you to compassion. Concern drives you to pray. Concern makes you do something about it, but it's not worry. There's a difference. When you're worried and anxious, you're having your energy sapped. Worry and anxiety saps you of your energy and spiritual power. In fact, the thing that follows worry and anxiety is fear. Worry, anxiety turn into fear. And fear doesn't drive you like compassion drives you to do something good. Fear gets your mind twisted. Now, there's a lot of people here this morning. It's good to see so many people. And I trust right now that you've come into this place with concern, but not with worry. Because if you've had worry, then you haven't sung these songs this morning. Oh, yes, I have. I was singing along. Hang on. I said you haven't sung them. You might have opened your mouth and words may have come out. But you can't sing when you're full of worry. You can make a noise, but you can't sing. You see, two things go together, peace and joy. You can't have one without the other. They are inseparable. And when you've lost your joy because you're worried and full of anxiety, your peace is gone. You're not singing from your heart. And some of you perhaps wasn't even singing at all because you're so worried, not just concerned. I'm not saying don't be concerned. I'm saying stop worrying. Jesus said, do not worry. Don't give in to worry, because worry is a tool of Satan that he wants to rob you of your strength. I know that what I'm saying is true, because I'm not just preaching a sermon to you this morning. I am telling you what I've experienced for many years. Because there was a time when I come from a dysfunctional family, so there was always things going wrong. And when I got saved, there was always things going wrong. And I grew spiritually. I knew nothing when I became a Christian. Couldn't read or write properly. And I had all sorts of things go wrong. And I always wanting peace. I wanted peace. My family, there was never no peace in my home. My dad was a drunkard, so there was never any peace. But I know when I became a Christian, wanted this peace, so I would ask God for peace. And I used to think it was the same, Lord, sort this problem out. You know, I was at work. God, sort this problem out at work. I'll have peace. And often God sorted the problem out, but there's still no peace because another problem came. The world has a way of keep on bringing problems. Don't get upset by me saying that, because Jesus said, in the world you will have... Come on, a bit louder. In the world you'll have... A bit louder. In the world you'll have... Trouble. For those who didn't know what they were saying, they said, trouble! Jesus said, in the world you, he's talking to his disciples, will have trouble. He's saying it. He's not saying, you walk through this world when you follow me without any trouble. He isn't saying that. That's stupid. You can't walk this world without trouble. There's trouble on every hand and side. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. Then listen to this. This is an oxymoron. In the world you will have trouble, but be happy. It hasn't sunk in, has it? Let me say it again. Stop looking around. Look at me. He says, in the world, you'll have trouble, but be happy. Come on. How can you be happy if there's trouble? That's an oxymoron. Jesus actually says it. He said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. We're following him. You're not following the prime ministers and presidents. You're following them. You're following Jesus, who says, I'm going to give you my peace, I leave with you. Not as a world gives, give I to you. So he's promised to give us a peace that is a tangible thing. The word peace that Jesus uses in the Bible is the word shalom. It's the Hebrew word shalom, which is a holistic word. You look at shalom and you look at peace in our dictionary, it's totally different. But shalom still means tranquility, still means calmness. But shalom also means, listen to this, it means bringing into perfection. It means salvation. It means restoration. It means healing. It means prosperity. I'm not kidding you. You go look up the word shalom if you don't mean a whole lot more meanings than that. It's a holistic word. When they used to shake hands and say shalom, it wasn't just a greeting. You know, we get so pathetic and apathetic with our greetings today. Have you noticed that? Shopping centers, there's always somebody trying to sell you something, and on the way through, you know, they stop you, say, good day, how are you? I was tempted just the other day, this guy stopped me, he says, he wanted to sell some to do with football. He says, how are you? I nearly said, well, have you got an hour? Do you mean it? How am I? Do you really want to know how I am? They don't want to know, do they? Let's be honest. They don't want to know. So when they say, how are you? That means nothing. That means, this. How are you? What the meaning is, would you buy something from me? Come on, let's be honest. That's what they mean. And the girls at the counter, and I bless them. They say, have a good day. It's just, they've been told to say that, so they've got to say it. One time of the day, they used to grunt at you, didn't they, when you, But now they've got to say, have a good day, because they want to keep their jobs. It's different. The world's changing. But it's not with any... Sometimes we say to people, God bless you. But it's just no more than, have a good day. God bless you. It means nothing. In the Bible days when they used to shake hands and say, shalom, they were invoking a blessing, healing, salvation, prosperity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, the wonderful thing is that Jesus says, John, you can have my peace. Jesus Christ never, ever worried about anything. He was concerned about a lot of things. It was his concern that drove him into this world. His concern for us drove him to the cross, but he never worried. He was always at peace. That peace of God was always there because he is the Prince of Peace. And I have come to realize that as a Christian, not always are my problems sorted out there and then. Isn't it wonderful when you get an answer to your prayer immediately? No? Oh, I think it is, Lord. These don't. I think it's nice when you answer prayer immediately. I'm telling you that I think it's really good. Don't nobody else think it's good when you get your prayer answered? I know some of you think it's never happened to me. That's why you're looking like that. But sometimes your prayers get answered immediately. Other times it can take years. I've been praying for something now for 25 years. Still hasn't happened. You know, the prayer can be like that. But because those problems are still there, does that mean then I get no peace? No. I'm going to walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the reason I can do this is because the Bible says, and we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him. That's a faith thing. You know, the Bible says, in all things give thanks. I read that just this week. Three times Paul wrote it. Thessalonians, Colossians, and Ephesians. In all things, in all circumstances, give thanks. So I'm looking at it. And often you read it, you say, amen, and just keep reading. I stopped. I thought, Lord, do I? Do I... in all circumstances, give thanks. And I had to be honest and say I don't. Because some things happen to me, I think, I don't want to give thanks for that. Didn't like it. Let's be honest. Come on, a little bit of honesty here. 5 minutes of honesty before I finish, okay. But there's some things I can give thanks for. I give thanks for salvation. I give thanks for cleansing. I give thanks for the Spirit of God within me. I give thanks for all the wonderful things God has given me and done. There's lots of things to give thanks for. But those giving thanks for those things are appreciation. What about the other things that you don't appreciate? People who are close to you that's got sickness and people who have been close to you that have died through illness. You don't appreciate that. But the Bible says give thanks in all circumstances. Not necessarily because of, but in those circumstances. So if I'm I wrote a list, you see, when I looked at this scripture again, of the things I give thanks for. And I realized it's all because I appreciate what God's done. But then I wrote this other list of things that's happened, circumstances that I'm not giving thanks for. And I thought, whoa, I don't appreciate them. But then I realized something. If I'm going to give thanks for them, this has got to be a faith thing. I've got to step over that line of faith and thank God for them, even though I don't understand them, even though I don't appreciate them. I know that one day, somehow, God will turn them around for my good. I don't understand that now. I can see things that have happened in my life. I look at it and I say, God, that isn't doing me any good. I can't see how it can. But by faith, I believe your word. All things, not some things, all things work together for good to them that love God. So I give thanks to God now, and I'm aiming to do that for all circumstances, in all circumstances, for those things I appreciate and those things that take a step of faith to do it. But all the time, I want to keep my peace. Amen. Hallelujah. And now, where do I get this peace from? I've got it. And so have you. Don't you dare come and ask me after this meeting's over to pray for you for peace. Not if you're a Christian, because you've already got it. Well, I can't see it. No, you can't, because you're not looking properly. The peace of God, Jesus, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You've got it. Just start digging, looking for it, and using it. Amen. So if you're upset today and you're worried about something today and you're anxious today, cut it out. Stop saying, God, I've got your peace. I'm in a storm. I'm in a winter experience. I could grumble a lot. I could complain a lot. I could moan a lot. I could really hammer you, God, at times for this. But by faith, I'm going to give you thanks because I know you'll turn it around for my good. Don't like what it is, Lord. He's not asking you to like it. He's saying, let my peace rule in your heart and mind. Listen to this. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. I've got 5 minutes left just to bring this story out. I was preaching on peace once. I've said this to you before, but I know that when you preach, people forget what you said. Have you found that out? You could, in fact, most, well, did you preach last week? A few weeks ago. Well, they definitely forgot that. People forget what you preach. I was preaching on peace at a church, big meeting. After the meeting finished, I preached about worry and peace that God gives. After the meeting finished, a guy came to me, well-dressed man. I'd only just got off the platform. He was there. And he says, I want you to know that I'm a psychiatrist. He says, and I got my degree in studying worry. I thought, uh-oh, this guy's going to have a shot at me. He's going to just pull me down. And his eyes filled with tears. He says, I got a wife that's so full of worry and anxiety and has been for years, I can't do anything for her. And he said to me, I've never heard ever what you have preached this morning, that peace is a set gift from God. It's not dependent on the sorting out of your problems, but by faith you receive it from God. He said, I've never heard that. He said, I did a degree in worry and anxiety. I'm a psychiatrist. And he was crying. He says, thank you. I'm going to go home, start praying for my wife positively now. See, you see, friends, what I'm telling you is not stupid. And if you're an educated person, you think that I'm saying something stupid. Well, don't blame me. Blame Jesus. Because Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace, not as the world gives, give I unto you. And all I'm doing is passing on to you that every Christian here, I want you to go through this time of Christmas with the peace of God overflowing. That doesn't mean all your problems are going to get solved. I'd love to be able to say, come out here, I'm going to pray for you, and all your problems are going to be solved. You'd rush, you'd stampede me, wouldn't you, if you thought that was going to happen? But it's not. It's not. I could preach like this. I can hit and run, and he could sort all the problems out. These two can afterwards. You could go to them. Don't come to me with your problems. I don't want to know. I'm not your pastor. It's been a wonderful thing since I gave my pastor's ticket away. I've got a lot of freedom in preaching I never had before. Hallelujah. So I don't want to pray for your problems, but what I'll do is pray that that peace that you've got will start to bubble up within you, that you see the storm, you see the things around you. You're concerned, and it will drive you to prayer and compassion for those, but you're going to have a wonderful peace. Amen. Christmas Day, you might have a, not might, quite a few of you do come from some dysfunctional families, don't you? Let's be honest. You've got some wackos in your families, haven't you? And you know, it's like you meet Christmas Day and you think, oh, have I got to put up with this again? Well, you listen, you can have peace. Amen? You can stand there like a peaceful figure and the people will look at you and think, wow, look what she's got. Look what he's got. Man, how is it that in this world they can be so calm and almost detached? Because you've got your head on a cushion having a sleep with Jesus while there's a storm raging. Amen? Because he's the one. He's the one who's the problem solver. He's the one who's a miracle worker. But you've got to realize he's given you his peace for now. And don't say, I close with this, don't say, oh, well, I know in heaven it will be right, Pastor, because my husband won't be there. It'll be all right, Pastor, because my kids won't be there. No. You might say, in heaven there's no problems, no sin, no Satan, no sickness, no mortgages, no MasterCards, nothing. In heaven it's going to be tranquility. Well, let me just say this to you. I believe that. Heaven's a wonderful place. But let me tell you this. It's not just pie in the sky in that sweet by and by. It's steak on the plate while you wait, mate. Amen? Right now. You're a Christian now. Right now, God can feed you. He can satisfy you. He can fulfill you. You can walk through life with a joy and a peace that is there. And the world may say you're stupid and you're foolish. Doesn't matter. They said to Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Of course he cared. That's why he came. But he was resting through the storm. And the best way to go through a storm is to have a sleep. So that's what I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to pray that you'll sleep. Seriously, when it comes to your problems and your storms, your sleep, you're concerned, but your sleep, you will not get up in the morning anxious, tired, drained, because you've been tossing and turning all night. You'll have a good night's sleep. By the way, I have a gift for praying for people for sleep. God's used this for many, many years. So I'm going to pray for you just now. Father, I pray for this lovely congregation. They're your people. Most of them here, Lord, love you. I know that. But Lord, I ask that they will see that what I've said this morning has got great significance, this peace of God. Because you say, Lord, in your word, that you will keep us in perfect peace as our mind is stayed on you. I pray that every one of us will cause our mind to be set on you and that that peace that's there will start to pursue it, will start to claim it, we'll start to let it just happen. The shalom of God. Because by faith we walk, not by sight. Bless every person here in Jesus' name. Now before I just close this, the people here, I've talked about the peace of God. What about making your peace with God? Are some people here today who haven't made their peace with God? Have you been failing God and not getting forgiveness? Have you been letting God down and others, and you know that you've not at peace with God? And you need to be. You need to be forgiven. I want to pray for you. If you know you need the peace with God, not just the peace of God, but to be at peace with God, let me pray for you now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'd like to see your hand, if this is you, raise your hand. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else needs to make their peace with God? You could put your hands up. Yeah, God bless you. I see your hand. Put your hands down. Yes, God bless you, sir. I see your hand there. I'm going to pray right now. Father, for those who raise their hand, they want to make their peace with you. I pray right now that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse them from all sin. You will forgive them and cleanse them and strengthen them. May they go out of this meeting today knowing that they are at peace with you through the blood of Jesus. Lord, strengthen them. Please wash them. Take condemnation and guilt completely away. May they go out of this place totally refreshed, restored. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Thank you.